The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American
ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks, let's get the show on the road here. I got to tell you, going to be an interesting day. Kamala Harris refuses to go to the border. You've got one of the gals over at MSDNC who got triggered by the American flag, and Barack Hussein Obama thinks we're still a bunch of irredeemable, deplorable racist so-and-sos. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you're doing good out there, America. Again, a lot going on today. Our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee is going to be here in just a little while to weigh in on the big stories of the day. But I'm torn by where to start the program. We know that Barack Hussein Obama sat down for an interview with Anderson Cooper. He's the guy over at CNN. And Anderson Cooper over at CNN had this to say about, here's the interview with Barack Obama.
I thought that there were enough guardrails institutionally that even after Trump was elected, that you would have the so-called Republican establishment who would say, okay, it's a problem if the White House doesn't seem to be concerned about Russian meddling, or it's a problem if we have a president who's saying that, neo-Nazis marching in Charlottesville, they're good people on both sides. That's a little bit beyond the pale. And the degree to which we did not see that Republican establishment say, hold on, time out, that's not acceptable, that's not who we are, but rather be cowed into accepting it, and then finally culminating in January 6th, where what originally was, oh, don't worry, this isn't going anywhere, we're just letting Trump and others vent. And then suddenly you now have large portions of an elected Congress going along with the falsehood that there were problems with the election.
And the leadership of the GOP briefly for one night when they still had the sort of scent of fear in them, going against the president.
And then, poof, suddenly everybody was back in line. Now, the reason for that is because the base believed it. And the base believed it because this had been told to them not just by the president, but by the media that they watch. And nobody stood up and said, stop. This is enough.
All right. That was Barack Hussein Obama spewing lies to Anderson Cooper of CNN.
Crying Negro Network.
And I want to say something. Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. Always good to remember what that network is really all about. You need to understand what's going on here and what this is all about. Folks, they want you to believe that every white person in America is a racist. That's what they want. If you support paintings or statues or monuments out there, if you support this idea that we should protect American history, no matter if it's good or bad, we should remember, then you are the problem in America. But it goes beyond that. Barack Hussein Obama intentionally lied about Donald Trump, and we know that because Donald Trump did not call the white supremacist in Charlottesville, Virginia, very fine people. It was very clear when he was asked the question that President Trump was talking about the people who don't think we should be tearing down statues of Robert E. Lee. Now, that if you don't think that we should be tearing down statues, that doesn't make you a bad person. But according to Barack Hussein Obama, it does. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, Barack Hussein Obama is the chief culture jihadist. He was the guy back in 2007 who promised on the campaign trail, I was there. I heard these words coming from his lips that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. And why did he want to fundamentally transform America, ladies and gentlemen? It's because he hates America. This guy hates who we are. And this goes all the way back to Kenya and colonialism. This is the evil, the venom that was spewed into his brain, poured into his brain by Daddy Obama. This is who he is. So Barack Obama hates this nation with every fiber of his being. And that's why he wanted to fundamentally transform it. Now, there may be people out there, how dare you, Todd? Barack Obama is a great American patriot. He loves this country. Really? Well, let me ask you a question. Those of you who truly believe that, if you truly love something, why would you want to fundamentally transform it? And by the way, that fundamental transformation, it was just put on hold for 4 years. It's back. And it's not looking good for America right now. Now, I have hope for America because we are the land of the free, the home of the brave. And I believe that we've got enough patriots still standing in this country to take our country back. I truly believe that. But we're going to be suffering quite a bit in the meantime. So you've got Obama out there, and he, again, is trying to convince you that every Trump supporter in America is a racist. And then, so again, that was happening over on CNN. Meanwhile, over on MSDNC, you have Mara Gay. She is one of the lady pundits over there. She is also a member of the far-left radical New York Times editorial board. And she announced on MSDNC today that she got triggered by the American flag. Let's take a listen.
I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, yep. Trump yep. flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which... You know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your yeah. country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that conversation, this is going to continue.
All right. So that was Mara Gay. I do not know her pronouns, but Miss Gay is very triggered by Old Glory. Can you just imagine? Here she was probably driving her Prius along the streets of Long Island, probably looking for barefoot Contessa herself, Ina Garten. And all of a sudden, she's surrounded by pickup trucks with explicatives that are put on the pickup truck. All I can tell you is, God bless the patriots in Long Island. I don't know about you, but when I heard that there were pickup trucks and American flags out the wazoo on Long Island, I just sort of perked up and said, God bless America. It's unbelievable. Oh, my God. I saw flags, and they had red stripes and white stripes, and there was a field of blue stars.
Racist. They're racist. Racist. Racist.
Where do they find these people? But it's important for you to hear this. Somebody messaged, Todd, I'm trying to have a sandwich here. Can you just, really, do we have to talk? Yes, we've got to talk about it. Because you need to know. You need to know that this kind of hate, this kind of dimension is in our country. And it is an ugly, ugly thing. But we need to talk about it. because we got to fight back. And that's what Donald Trump was doing. For 4 years, this guy got up every single day, put his pants on, zipper in the front, and he went out there and he fought for America. And he was fighting against these thugs and thuggets in the mainstream media. And God bless Donald Trump, but every single day, this man triggered every single employee at MSDNC, a good many at Fox News, and CNN, the most profane name in news.
Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. God bless our president. I'm telling you. But now do you understand where we are? This is what the cancel culture is really all about. It's ugly, folks. It really is ugly. They want to shut all of us up. But you know what? I bought a radio station, so they can't shut me up. They just can't do it. So we're going to talk about this. All I can tell you, folks, hang in there. It's going to get ugly. But we're going to fight every single day on this radio program against this cancel culture mob. And we're going to tell you the truth. That's the only way. That's the only way we can fight back against these lies. We shine a little bit of light, and the leftist cockroaches, they scatter. They scatter. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, the live show blog is up and running over at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. What do you want to tell all these people like Barack Hussein Obama, Michelle Obama, Mara Gay over at MSNBC, all these people who hate our country? What do you want to tell them, ladies and gentlemen? What advice would you like to give them? Let's go to the phones. Keith in North Carolina on the Talk Station. Hi, Keith. What's going on?
How you doing, Todd? It's been raining here forever. It killed my garden, but that's not why I called.
All right, Keith, what's going on?
Well, the question that ought to be asked of all these complainers is to identify any other country in this world that has been so welcoming to so many different, diverse people within their borders and help them develop the skills to succeed and overcome and just be anybody they wanted to be. Just ask him that question.
You know what, Keith? That is a fair question to ask. And again, these are people who are so ungrateful. And again, if they hate America so much, why don't they just go somewhere else? This is what I've never understood. Why don't these people pack their bags and go somewhere else? Keith, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. By the way, speaking of people coming to America, so you've got Kamala Harris out there, and she still refuses to go to our border. She does not want to see the catastrophe that has occurred there. She does not want to go to what is quickly becoming a third world country along our border. And the reason why, it's all political. She knows that if she goes down there, she owns the problem. So that's why she's going everywhere but the border. So Kamala Harris was down in Guatemala yesterday, and she was confronted by all of these protesters. And she told the Guatemalans, do not come to our border. And then after Guatemala, she went to Mexico. And that's where she was interviewed by Lester Holt of NBC News. Let's take a listen.
Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance.
Okay. Do you have any plans?
So, okay, it went on, but the point of this interview is that she is a jerk. She is a lady jerk, a jerkette. And I'm sure you can think of a few other choice words. But it was very snarky, got real snarky and snippy with Lester Holt from NBC News. So, again, the guy asked a very pointed question. Why are you not going to the border? And then she turns around and says, well, I haven't been to Europe either. You know, that's not the point. You're not in charge of Europe. You're in charge of the border. So why aren't you doing your job? And, of course, we all know the reason for that. Anyway, cut number 7, please.
And I want to emphasize that the goal of our work is to help Guatemalans find hope at home. At the same time, I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. There are legal methods by which migration can and should occur. But we, as one of our priorities, will discourage illegal migration. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back. So let's discourage our friends, our neighbors, our family members from embarking on what is otherwise an extremely dangerous journey, where in large part the only people who benefit are coyotes.
Well, clearly she is lying out the wazoo, because we know when the illegals show up at the border, they are welcomed into our country. They are given a lovely fruit basket, and they are giving a voter registration card for the DNC, already filled out. That's what's happening down at the border. So my sympathies to all of you folks who live especially in Texas, because you are literally being overrun by illegal aliens. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands, over 500,000 so far this year. We're talking about what could very well be an entire state worth of illegal aliens coming across our border, the size of something like you folks in Mississippi, for example. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, we're going to get into more of that with Governor Huckabee a little bit later on. I also want to take a moment and share a bit of personal news with you. We can now officially announce that the brand new book is available for pre-order if you would like an autographed copy. So many of you know that every time we have a book, we do personal autographed copies, and we're going to do that again for this book. All you have to do is go to our website, toddstearns.com, and click on the store, and you will see the book there, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And if you go, and again, this is a limited time order, but if you go to the website, sign up and get yourself a copy, we're going to personalize that, we're going to autograph that book for you, and you're going to love this book. It is incredibly inspirational. You are going to laugh like you've never laughed before. There's a lot of inspirational stories, great recipes, and it's just fun, and we need that for this summer. Trust me, we need it. So again, toddstearns.com, click on the store and get yourself signed up and get a copy of Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Draw. We'll be right back, folks. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers.
The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Set. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506, promo code STARNS.
So last night, President Trump went after Chris Wallace, the registered Democrat and Fox News Channel host, says he doesn't understand why Chris Wallace is still employed by Fox News. Look, it's I worked there 15 years, and it was I had a great time. I can say this, that the people there were very nice to me. But the reality is there just were not that many conservatives working at Fox News. So Chris Wallace is actually in the majority. I mean, most of the people in charge of Fox News are raging leftists, and they hate conservatives. They're just there to get a paycheck. And that's why you've seen some wobbles, because this is not about ideology to them. This is about a paycheck. And back when Roger Ailes was running Fox News Channel, it was all about God and country and family and American sovereignty. That's what Roger lived and breathed, and that was reflected in everything you saw on Fox News Channel. And he ran that news channel so effectively and did a terrific job. And it was an honor to work for Roger back in the day. But, the president's got a pretty good point. You know, a lot of people have stopped watching Fox. They are going over in droves to Newsmax TV. As a matter of fact, Steve Cortez is going to be with us in the next hour. He's got a brand new show on Newsmax. But I'm curious, did you go back to Fox News? A lot of you guys left Fox News after what they did in the election when they turned on Donald Trump. But have you gone back to Fox News Channel? Have you forgiven them? Or did you just say, you know what, that's it, irreconcilable differences, we're filing for divorce? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, I don't know about you guys, but the allergies, they get me all the time. We've been talking about our good friends over at Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Eden Pure has a brand new air purifying system, and this thing has really changed my life for the better. No more problems with coughing or sneezing, watery eyes. It's just amazing that Eden Pure actually purifies the air in my home. And they will do the exact same thing for you. And the great thing about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, it's not going to break the bank. This is not a bank buster. You're going to love this. You're going to want to get a couple of them for other rooms in your house. But they're about the size of an Apple TV device. So they're very small, and you don't even know that it's there. So here's what I want you to do. Check out EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. And if you use the code word Todd, they're going to hook you up with some incredible deals. They're also going to throw in free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com. You got to get yourself a thunderstorm air purifier. It is going to make a world of difference in your home. I'm going to play some music for you, and I want to warn you about what you're about to hear. This is an actual human being. This is what we call a leftist, a pajama boy snowflake. And many of these liberals, and there was a survey out a couple of weeks ago that most liberals are still wearing their face coverings. Even though they don't have to, they're still wearing the face burkas. I don't get it. They're insane. That's all I can tell you. So I came across this song last night on a place called Liberal TikTok. And there was a guy who wrote a love song to his face mask. And this guy is the epitome of the pajama boy snowflake. Let's take a listen.
It's been 14 months inside our homes, and it's finally time to say goodbye to the piece of cloth that kept COVID right at bay. We had some real good memories, you held on to me so damn tight. But it's time for us to let go now. The CDC says the time is right. I'm not ready. Love you. You were my thin layer of puff that scared the COVID off my mask.
Oh,
I'll
my
miss
God.
You on my face.
My mask.
Just a few more months. I'll make a special spot in my room where we can be the bride and groom. My mask.
Well, I don't know about you, Grace Baker. I feel extremely uncomfortable right now.
Oh, but it is catchy.
It's got a beat to it.
When I listen to that, it seems like he's making a parody, though, right?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think this guy really has an affection towards his face covering.
I watched a video the other day that was surveying people wearing their masks outside, fully vaccinated, and a lot of them were just like, well, I'm going to wear mine until everyone else takes theirs off.
Okay, yeah, those people are morons.
I know.
They're morons.
Or they're just like, I just feel safe. I'm just used to it. And I'm like, So you know what someone described it as? A pacifier, like a baby with a pacifier.
Or a blanket. Remember Linus on Charlie Brown with the security blanket?
Mm-hmm. Or they get upset.
I mean, clearly the guy is suffering from separation anxiety here. He says, I miss you on my face. And he said, what is it that he thinks he's in love with his face covering? Is that it? I want to play this again. We're going to analyze the lyrics here.
It's been 14 months inside our homes, and it's finally time to say goodbye to the piece of cloth that kept COVID right at bay.
We
had some real good memories, you held on to me so damn tight. But it's time for us to let go now. The CDC says the time is right.
My mask.
I'm not ready.
My mask.
I think I love you.
You
are my little layer of that scared the COVID off my mask. I'll miss you on my face.
My mask.
Just a few more months. I'll make a special spot in my room.
Get off my face.
Let's leave the trash.
What's wrong with you, pervert?
Just throw it in the trash.
But you know what's weird? It kind of just ends. You know, it's yeah. like a boy band. I guess you strike
it's a
pose.
So you only have so much time.
Oh, I thought it was just you know. I thought that you know, like
he
you strike
be
a pose
and just cut.
I see. Well, these liberals are nuts. Literally nuts. If you are walking around with the face covering, you need help right now.
It's kind of like groovy, though. Like, kind of in a weird way, like, I guess it's like a romance song, isn't it?
No, it's not a romance song.
He's singing his love to his mask.
Barry White. Well, that is true. That's just creepy. I mean, Barry White, that's good baby making love music right there. But that other guy, that's just creepy. I mean, I miss you on my face. Come
something
on.
About being the bride and the groom in a corner.
I think
of the
I
room.
Love you.
I was like, what?
I miss you on my
like,
face.
Dress up with
no,
a mask.
That's terrible. Come on, jeez, Lou.
It's a weird role playing.
All right. Yes, it is.
Oh,
doctor. All right. 844-747-8868. It's our toll free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, Burger King, you know, I've never been a big fan of Burger King. I want to come right out and just put that out there. So you know where my allegiance lies. And I'm a Zaxby's guy. I do like Chick-fil-A, not as much as I used to. But I still consider it to be the official chicken of our Lord. And Chick-fil-A has found themselves embroiled in a controversy with Burger King. Now, here's the story. Burger King is going into the chicken sandwich fast food wars. They have a brand new chicken sandwich. And Grace, I know this may be controversial.
Uh-oh.
But everybody who has tried this, they have failed.
What do you mean?
Popeyes tried the chicken sandwich.
Okay. I like the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Okay,
that's just preference.
McDonald's.
Oh, no.
I'm not even sure that was
poultry.
I'm not
sure it's chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something.
And now you've got Burger King that is you know,
stick to the burgers,
hawking
Burger
this chicken sandwich. And so Burger King is putting out this statement saying that, and they're attacking Chick-fil-A.
Oh, they're throwing shade at Chick-fil-A.
Big time shade. So they're supporting a group called the Human Rights Campaign. Oh, this is a radical hate group. These people they're like the rabid LGBT crowd. The average LGBT person, they just want to be left alone. They want to live their lives. They don't care about this. They'll eat at Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or wherever. But these people, the Human Rights Campaign, these people are just evil, downright evil. So anyway, Burger King says, you know what we're going to do? We are going to give 40 cents out of every sandwich we sell. We're going to give that money to the Human Rights Campaign so they can wage war against Christians. Then Burger King takes it a step further, and then they throw shade at Chick-fil-A and say that at least they're open on Sundays.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the reason why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays is so that their workers can spend the day with their family. They can
rest.
Go fishing.
Take a break.
They can go to church. They can do whatever they want to do. And somehow that offends the people over at Burger King.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I want a chicken sandwich on a Sunday, and then I'm like, dang nabbit, can't go there after church. But
now you got all these people out there, and they're embracing this whole Gay Pride Month thing. You got the people, you got Skittles, and they got the multiple colored Skittles. Oh, wait a second. That's normal, though.
I'm about to say, that's just Skittles, Todd.
And then you've got, you know, the Fruity Pebbles with all the cereal. That's different. Oh, wait a second.
Again,
that's normal.
Fruity Pebbles has been around.
And then you got Fruit Loops. And Fruit Loops, they've got, oh, wait a second. That's okay. What's out there? I mean, everything is like going LGBT.
Well, the
thing is, colors of the rainbow.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, every clothing company, even the places I buy dog bandanas for my dog are like, we have Pride Month dog bandanas. And I'm like, really? I don't need my dog wearing a Pride Month dog bandana.
Has your dog come out and like identified yet?
No.
I mean, you know, that's going to happen because they're going out there now and just saying, oh, yeah, these animals are actually gay. There are no such things as straight animals anymore. All the animals are gay.
Dog. Thank you very much.
All right. Look, I'm not judging. I'm just asking a question. You know, we're trying to be culturally relevant here on this program.
You got Blue's Clues?
Blue's Clues. And then we've got Nickelodeon. And we're going to save this for after the break.
Oh.
But you've got all these children's TV networks that are now going after your kids.
It's terrifying.
And it is frightening. And I'm curious to know from our moms and dads, are you getting concerned about the level of indoctrination? I mean, we are now moving into not just informing children about gay issues, but now this is about grooming children. And honestly, when you look at what Nickelodeon is doing and some of these others and Burger King, I mean, this is sort of predatory. They are preying on very innocent minds here. And it disgusts me. I don't care if you're gay or straight. You got no business doing that to a kid. But I got news for Burger King, and I'm curious, any of you folks out there going to still go to Burger King to get it your way? But they better be careful going after the official chicken of our Lord, because nobody wants to spend eternity flame broiled. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, by the way, we're getting reports that like hundreds of you have already started purchasing your books over at ToddStarnes.com. Thank you. Plenty of biscuits to go around, as they say. Again, today we are officially launching the autographed copies of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl, co-written by my great friend Michelle Cox. And if you would like an autographed copy, all you have to do is go to our website, ToddStarnes.com, click on the store tab, and all the information is there. Some lady just bought 15 copies of the book. All right, I got to give that lady a hug. If you buy 15 copies of the book, we're going to give you a hug. All right, well, it'll be a virtual hug.
Like a video call?
We could do that.
There you go.
All right, I'll even do your, like...
like a video message.
Voicemail.
Oh, this is Todd Starnes. Now...
Karen's not here right now.
Oh, but... my gosh. She's in Guatemala.
She's in Guatemala. You got to say it right. You don't want to be accused as a white person of cultural appropriation.
This is true.
It's like guacamole. That's what I love with the chips.
Yes.
Tortilla chips
there
and guacamole.
Go. There you go.
We're having way too much fun with this. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Benjamin wants to talk about Muslim lesbian owls. Benjamin, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Starnes. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about the Blue's Clues show. So you said that there was a lesbian Muslim owl. So that's kind of a ironic oxymoron thing, because don't Muslims throw lesbians off a 10-story building tied to a chair?
Yes. Now, this is what we would call, Benjamin, an inconvenient truth. That is correct. Most Muslim countries... not only is homosexuality outlawed, it is punishable by death. And you are correct, sir, that in some Muslim countries, they have literally thrown gay people off rooftops, which is horrific. It is evil. It is of the devil. But you know what, Benjamin? You've got all these leftists out there. They will turn a blind eye to that for the sake of tolerance. It makes no sense. Hence the irony, I suppose. But these people are flat-out morons.
They are. Anyways, I just wanted to tell you that and of the show.
Benjamin.
You have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling. But it is true. These folks out there, they preach tolerance and diversity, and they will turn a blind eye to some of the most intolerant, hateful people on the face of the earth. And the Human Rights Campaign is the worst. These people are flat out evil. And they will try and destroy any person who dares stand up to their nefarious plan. You say, well, Tom, what's a nefarious plan? Well, the nefarious plan is they want to shut you up and they want to destroy Christianity in America. They want to silence the church in America. They want to destroy the church in America. And by and large, they are being very, very effective. And those of you following this heartbreaking news out of the Southern Baptist Convention, where you have a number of critical race theory activists and woke preachers that are waging a war against God-fearing Christian conservatives, it is heartbreaking. As a matter of fact, we're going to be at the Southern Baptist Convention next week, hopefully doing our show from there. Because I'm telling you, if we lose the Southern Baptist Convention, America, we're going to have a hard time getting this country back in shape. I mean, we're talking about Catholics who have been overrun by leftists, and now we're facing the same situation in the largest non-Catholic denomination, where leftists are trying to take over the Southern Baptist Convention. And we just can't allow that to happen. We cannot let that happen. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. We're going to play you some of this Nickelodeon stuff. It's going to blow your mind when you hear what they're doing to our kids. Blow your mind. If you're on hold, hang tight. We're going to get to your call. Steve Cortez is coming up from Newsmax TV. Also, our good friend Mike Huckabee. And your calls as well, 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Don't forget, go pre-order a copy of our Daily Biscuit. I could use a biscuit right now, actually.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. A lot going on today, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our live show blog is up and running over at toddstearns.com. Lots of great, important information for you to check out there as well. The starting point for this hour of the program is the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We are honored to have the esteemed Steve Cortez hanging out with us, host of Cortez and Pellegrino, one of the fastest-growing shows on Newsmax TV. Steve, hope you're doing good today.
I am great. Thank you so much for having me, Todd.
And by the way, congratulations on the show. It's the last time we had you on, you were about to debut it. What's it like being on the big TV?
Yes, no, you know, it's going great. Newsmax is a terrific platform, and we are the 9 o'clock Eastern show every weeknight. And we are trying to differentiate ourselves from other shows out there by taking a very populist, nationalist view of things. And so I hope that we are being the platform and the voice of the deplorables out there, taking on a lot of the cultural issues, for example, that some of the other programs out there are afraid or unwilling to take on. You know, we will take them on. And so far, the show's going great. Had an interview with President Trump that got us a big bump in ratings and one that we are sustaining so far. So I think it's growing in popularity, and we're just going to keep working hard with it.
Well, the reason why is you guys are the real deal over at Newsmax TV, and you're doing a great job. And the American people, they know that, and especially conservatives, they are really loving what you guys are doing over there. Steve, I want to direct your attention to a story that we have up on our website about Mara Gay, who is a lady pundit over at MSDNC. She's also on the editorial board of the New York Times. And apparently she got triggered by a bunch of American flags and pickup trucks in, of all places, Long Island, New York.
Right. You know, that clip is just cringe-inducing, but it's unfortunately also revealing. So, I mean, I think even though it's cringe-inducing, people need to see it or need to listen to it, because what she said there essentially is that the American flag represents whiteness. And that, unfortunately, is the actual view of the left and of the New York Times, of corporate media platforms, of too many corporate boardrooms, by the way, as well now, as big business has largely been taken over by this woke nonsense. The American flag represents every American of every color and every creed. All of us bleed red, and it's represented on the red, white, and blue of that flag. So the flag does not represent a race. America never has been a race. We are a country, and thankfully a multiracial country where people get along very well. It's fascinating to me, Todd. The reality is we're at a place culturally in America where racism has become totally unacceptable in society, where interracial relationships are totally unremarkable in the 2020s in America, where minorities, if anything, and I say this as an Hispanic, if anything, minorities have a lot of advantages in American society today in things like jobs and education and really important parts of life. And yet we have people on the left like Mara Gay, like Barack Obama last night on Anderson Cooper, trying to stir up, to effectively gin up racial strife where none previously existed. And then the question, you know, begs the question, well, then why would they do that? Well, they do it for power. They do it because it gives them a way to literally divide and conquer America. Let's put Americans into silos where they are identified only by their physical characteristics that they can't change, by the way. That's really the definition of bigotry, right, is to value people or identify them only based on things they can't change because they're too short or because their skin is too dark or too white. That's the definition, really, of prejudice, something that we have always properly cautioned our children against in this country, something that, unfortunately, the left wants to instill now as sort of a bedrock agenda item.
Well, the problem I see, Steve, and, you know, for sake of full disclosure, I'm of the Caucasian persuasion. This is an attack directed specifically at white people. When you talk about critical race theory, even going back to the administration of Barack Obama, he was laying the foundation for all of this. And they were using the military to advance this notion of white privilege. And now here we are. And I hear what you're saying about most Americans do not buy into this. But I'm concerned about the generations that are currently being educated in public schools, because they are. And a lot of moms and dads have disengaged and they're not paying attention to what their kids are learning in school. And I, you know, this is how they're facilitating this massive change in America.
Oh, Todd, you're totally right. And don't get me wrong. I'm saying that we were at a place where we had made enormous progress, right? And I think we lived in mostly a post-racial society. That doesn't mean we can't go right back, right? And I think you're exactly correct. The left is hell-bent on making sure that happens, right? Making sure that we become a tribalized country. You know, part of the beauty of America is we have never been that way. Most of the world is that way. Let's face it. Most countries on Earth, even if it's one country, take a place like India, people identify more with their specific tribe rather than with being Indian, Asian Indian. That's true in China. It's true across the world. That has never been true in the United States. We have identified first and foremost as Americans. The left is unfortunately is succeeding, at least in the schools, particularly public schools, but even a lot of private schools, is succeeding at trying to indoctrinate our children into an opposite view, that their worth, their identity is first and foremost about their private parts and their skin color, right? I mean, that is literally what the left is trying to tell us, and to some degree succeeding, like the 1619 Project from the same New York Times where Mara Gay works. The 1619 Project is being taught in thousands of schools across America. It's just totally ahistorical. I mean, it's a lie regarding the history. And on top of that, you know, to your point, Todd, I think unfortunately the only prejudice that is permitted right now in American society, it seems, is anti-white bigotry, is somehow acceptable, at least in these influential circles, places like corporate media, you know, big business, certainly the Democratic Party, and it's reprehensible. By the way, regarding Mara Gay, I just want to add this, because it's not relevant specifically to this discussion, but it's just indicative of who she is and why she's somebody who really shouldn't be taken very seriously. You might remember she was on MSNBC with Brian Williams, and they were talking about Michael Bloomberg, how much money he spent on his failed campaign. He spent $500 million, reportedly. And the two of them sat there, and Brian Williams is every bit as guilty of this as Mara Gay, but they said, we could have given, with that $500 million, we could have given every single American, this is a quote, $1 million and had lunch money left over. And here's Gay's exact quote, Mara Gay. She said, it's true, and it's disturbing. Okay, neither of them apparently majored in math. The reality is he could have given every American $1.53, okay? So if he had said, I'm not running for president, I'm donating the money to every American, it would have been $1.53 per person. Mara Gay, along with Brian Williams, said it was $1 million per person. So just an example of the intellectual heft of these people we're talking about.
Yeah, not exactly the smartest eggs in the fridge there. Steve Cortez, host of Cortez and Pellegrino on Newsmax TV. Steve, what you got coming up this evening?
You know, we're going to have a big night, and we're going to talk about that Barack Obama interview with Anderson Cooper last night and how he is the divider in chief. I'm also going to get into his actual record on race, because he's somebody who likes to talk about being the champion of the little guy. But when he was in office, he did nothing but help the already successful and punish working class people, including a lot of minorities. So it should be a great show. I've got David Harris on, who's a really thoughtful black conservative, and he's going to react in the A block. So please tune in 9 p.m. Eastern time on Newsmax.
Love it. All right. Steve Cortez, host of Cortez and Pellegrino. Steve, always good having you on the show. We will see you on the TV tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Got to watch this, folks. Newsmax TV. They are just doing some incredible stuff. And you're going to start seeing me pop up more and more on Newsmax TV in the coming days. And we may have an announcement to share about that. We will just tease you with that bit of information. Right now, though, we're going to take a break and regroup. I want to get into this. What happened with Nickelodeon? It's going to blow your mind. Mary wants to weigh in on Chick-fil-A. As a matter of fact, let's do that. Why don't we do this first? Let's go to Mary. She's been holding on for a while, listening to us on the great WLOB. That's Ray Richardson country. Mary, you want to say something about Chick-fil-A? Hello, Mary. All right, let's. Mary may have gone on to Zaxby's for lunch. So we're going to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. I believe we have reestablished contact with Mary, listening to us on WLOB Portland, Maine. Hi, Mary. What's going on today?
Oh, hi. I just wanted to, like, mentioned, we don't really consider Chick-fil-A the Lord's chicken anymore ever since they threw Salvation Army and FCA under the bus for the very things we supported them for.
Now, Mary, you are referencing a story I believe was about a year or so ago when Chick-fil-A, after years of embracing the good Christian people of America and taking their money for their delicious sandwiches and waffle fries, they turned their back on the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, as well as the Salvation Army, as well as our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee. And that is a valid point you have. And I know a lot of Christians decided, you know what? Wow, this was a slap in the face, and they've decided to get their chicken someplace else.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we supported them for, and then they just decided to get kudos and go to Europe on top of that, you know?
You know, Mary, I hear you. I got to be honest with you. I still do eat at Chick-fil-A. I'm not as a passionate supporter as I used to be. They have a good product. Right. I mean, it's a great chicken sandwich. But the reality is, you know, my support for them was more based on their values, the shared values. And I got to tell you, it really did, it impacted me. When they turned their back on Christians, Chick-fil-A, it really hurt. And I think a lot of other people felt the same. They took it personally is what I'm trying to get at. What about you? Did you take that personally?
Yes, we did, because we stuck by them through thick and thin, and then they just threw people that were good, strong Christians, Salvation Army, really, you know, under the bus.
And I'm going to tell you why. First, Mary, the problem is, and this is the same problem at Fox News Channel, it's who they hire. And unfortunately, a lot of people they hired did not share Chick-fil-A's values, just like a lot of people working at Fox News do not share the values that company originally had. And that shows in the product. You see it on TV, and you see it at Chick-fil-A now where, you know, yeah, the lines are still long, but people are – honestly, it's just another fast food restaurant now. That's what I consider Chick-fil-A to be. Mary, thank you for the call, and we appreciate you listening to us. We appreciate all of our listeners all over America. I want to share some information with you. It's an update to a story we originally brought to you. We told you the story of Tanner Cross. He is a physical education teacher, a gym teacher, in Loudoun County, Virginia. Mr. Cross is a good Christian man. And he believes that little boys cannot suddenly become little girls. They were having a big discussion about this at the school board meeting, and Mr. Cross went to that meeting, and as a citizen and a school teacher, he shared his opinions with the school board. And he said that he cannot lie to his students, and he refuses to embrace this radical LGBT agenda. Well, what happened next was shocking, and it made national news. The school board put him on leave, took him out of the classroom. They said, "How dare you, sir? How dare you have these kinds of opinions? You will either bow down to the LGBT agenda or you will lose your job." Well, the good news is that Mr. Cross not only A, took a stand, but B, he reached out to Alliance Defending Freedom, one of the top religious liberty law firms in America. And Alliance Defending Freedom sent a letter to the school board and said, "You better get this guy back on the job or we're going to take action." And the good news is, and this is the update to this story, is that a judge has determined that the school district broke the law. And the judge has ordered that this grade school gym teacher be reinstated. He has to be put back into the classroom. 12th Circuit Judge James Plowman is the one who wrote the ruling. It is a temporary injunction that will allow Mr. Cross to remain on the job until December 31st. Folks, I got to tell you, it is a dangerous, dangerous world out there. And these public school classrooms are very dangerous places. These are the engines that are driving this radical change in America. And Mr. Cross is just the latest example. If you dare to share your
Christian beliefs, if you dare to live your life according to the teachings of the Bible, there will be hell to pay in the public school system. But thank God there are organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom that are taking a stand, and they're fighting the good fight. But even more important, they are winning the good fight. So this is good news, ladies and gentlemen, and let's hope that Mr. Cross is going to be able to have a very long career there in Loudoun County. And let's hope that there's no more retaliation. Because I'm telling you, moms, dads, if you got a kid in the public school system, this is the kind of teacher you want teaching your kid. I'm just telling you flat out. So good for you, Alliance Defending Freedom. Good for you, Mr. Tanner Cross. And shame on you, Loudoun County School Board. Bunch of godless heathens. Unbelievable. All right, look, coming up, we're going to play this audio for you. Nickelodeon, again, talking about indoctrination. Nickelodeon has just released a music video featuring a drag queen. No, this is not the Blue's Clues drag queen. This is a whole nother drag queen. And the drag queen is indoctrinating children who watch Nickelodeon with not only LGBT stuff, but also Black Lives Matter stuff. And I know, Grace Baker, you have seen this video. You're the one who sent it to me.
Oh, yeah. It's quite disturbing.
I can't get some of those images out of my out of my head.
Or the song.
It's like the guy singing about the face mask. I can't get that out of my face.
I'd rather have that than this.
I got to be honest with you. Yeah, there's a lot of truth there. We're going to post the video on our live show blog. But, Grace, I mean, you don't have kids yet. But you are going to have kids one day.
Eventually.
And my question is, when you sit them down in front of, you know, Nickelodeon or whatever.
No.
Do you want them indoctrinated like that?
No. No way. Nope. I think I'll just need to purchase, you know, the TV shows I know that were good back in like the 90s or something. And just keep them. Because who knows what it's going to be like in 5, 6, 7 years.
For generations, American boys and girls have gone to school. Remember, all the way back to Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
And little boys and the little girls did not need any coaching from their teachers about whether they were little boys or little girls.
No.
They didn't need any coaching about being attracted to a little boy or a little girl.
Nope.
They didn't need any of that.
Nope.
But now all of a sudden, you got the schools involved, and now they're teaching kids to be confused.
And they want government paid, you know, child care. They're trying to push for that now because they want to indoctrinate.
They want to indoctrinate. They want to control your kids, yep. Ladies and gentlemen.
You go to work, they teach your kids.
As horrible as this is, it's getting worse. And we've got the video to prove it. We're going to play that coming up. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them,
yep.
Trump
yep.
flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your
yep.
country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that conversation, this is going to continue.
All right, that was Mara Gay from MSDNC, also of the New York Times, saying that the American flag is a symbol of whiteness, and this poor woman was triggered when she went to Long Island and ran into a bunch of pickup trucks and American flags and profane messages about Joe Biden. I can only imagine what would happen if she had run into a Cracker Barrel. I mean, it would have been triggered. You know, the only people
that get more triggered than the folks over at MSDNC are the folks over at CNN.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. Let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend and the host of Huckabee Show on TBN, Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Gov, how's it going?
You know, I don't get triggered going into Cracker Barrel other than I get triggered into wanting extra cornbread, black-eyed peas, and some pepper sauce. That'd probably kill those folks. Wouldn't it?
You know, Governor, we always talk about food, but I have to tell you what happened to me the other day. So I was in the mood for a breakfast over at the Peabody, and they had great biscuits at the Peabody Hotel, which is the Grand Hotel of the South. Mm-hmm. And I sat down, and Governor, they said, we don't serve biscuits anymore.
What?
They don't serve biscuits. And I'm like, what do you? They said, you can have toast or a bagel, but we don't have biscuits. And so I did what any Southerner would do. I got up and left. I said, how can you be the Grand Hotel of the South and not have a biscuit?
I think maybe they're moving more toward avocado toast. I guess that's what they'll be selling.
Sweet.
That's tragic. I bet they don't even have any sorghum either.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to go that far. I was already out the door. It was terrible. So, Governor, what do you make of it? You know, this is really an extension of, you know, the gun-toting, Bible-clinging, bitter Americans, the basket of deplorables.
There truly are two cultures in America now. There's the culture of the left, and then there's the culture of what I call mainstream America. And that doesn't mean that everybody in mainstream America likes barbecue the way we do, but it means that we're just kind of live and let live, and we don't get all worked up if somebody has a different point of view. You know, we might say, bless your heart, but we don't want to go beat them up or put them out of business. Or as that idiot psychiatrist speaking at Yale said, unload an entire revolver into the brains of white people. I mean, this is not just a different point of view. These people are certifiably insane, but more importantly, they're dangerous to our country, to our culture, to the future of our civilization.
And that, you know, again, as much as, you know, you can change the channel, I get that. But my bigger concern is they're teaching this kind of stuff in public schools. And it's so important for moms and dads, Governor, to pay attention to what their kids are learning in those classrooms.
If parents don't get involved in their kids' education, they're going to be shocked to find out when those kids turn 18 and want to go to a liberal college to continue their liberalism, that all these years, their values have been undermined instead of undergirded. I'm more convinced than ever that parents, if there's any way they can do it, need to get their kids in a Christian school, need to just do whatever it takes to make that happen. And more, state governments need to give parents the option of taking the money that it costs to educate their child and using it to go to the school of their choice. It didn't used to be this bad, but it is this bad now. And it's gone from a time when I was a kid in school, when, frankly, public schools might as well have been Christian schools with the basic same values. But the time my children got in school, schools were mostly neutral. My kids all went to public school. Now that I've got grandchildren, I'm watching something totally different. And public schools are actually hostile toward Christian values. And I'm grateful my grandkids are in Christian school and they're getting biblical education, but they're getting a great education in math and science and other topics as well. But for those parents who still have children in public school, they better show up at the school board meeting and they better be willing to be unpopular, but to push back against the nonsense like critical race theory being taught in our schools.
Governor, what do you think the end game of this crowd is, the woke socialist and the critical race theorist? What do you think they want to accomplish ultimately?
They hate America. They want to destroy it. And that sounds so radical, doesn't it? I mean, if I had said that a few years ago, I would have laughed at myself for saying it because I would think nobody really believes that. But these people truly do. When you want to defund the police, when you believe that having people come illegally across the border is a good thing, where you have no idea why they're coming, what they're going to do when they get here, whether they have a criminal background or a communicable disease, and you're just interested in getting registered to vote. And when you really believe that government, not God, is the really organizing principle of this country, and you think America and all of its history is racist, evil, not worth salvaging, not worth discussing, and that we all in this generation owe people for something that happened 200 years ago, that kind of thing, there's only one conclusion. They want to bring about the destruction of the United States of America as we have known it.
And that is why it is so vitally important for Republicans, and there have got to be a few Democrats out there who love America and understand what's happening here, but we're all going to have to stand together and fight this, and it is going to be a long, hard slog. But, Governor, I do think that if we all commit to fighting, I think we're going to be able to take back the country and save it from the socialist.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more of, when I say us, I mean just common sense people. They may not go to the same church I do or believe like I do. They may not even own a firearm, but they're not crazy people. I do think we're beginning to see more and more people wake up to what's happening. I had the most remarkable young man on my show last weekend, Matt Lohmeyer, who was relieved of his command as colonel in the Space Force. He's written a book, and it's very powerful, and he talks about how wokeness is infiltrating the U.S. military and that Marxist thought, the last place you would ever think that would be the military, but that it is increasingly steeping into leadership of our nation's service academies as well as to the military. And I'm telling you, this is maybe the most frightening thing of all, because sort of the one last bastion of our institutions that I believed would be free from that kind of crazy politics would be the military. As it turns out, they are also moving more and more toward going woke, and the result is disastrous for the security of our country.
And of course, Governor, meeting next week in Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, they're talking about a massive crowd of Southern Baptists, 15,000 expected, to address that very issue, the wokeness and critical race theory that has infected the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination.
Well, I think it's an important pushback. There are many people in the Southern Baptist Convention who are standing up and boldly saying, we're not going to give away this denomination to people on the far left who just simply reject the basic premise of the scripture, which is that each of us are individually accountable to God. We're not in a group plan, and therefore I'm not who I am because of my race, my gender, my ethnicity. I am who I am because I'm a creation of God Almighty, and I have not only direct responsibility to Him, but I have direct opportunity because of Him. Nothing can keep me back. It's like that wonderful verse in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the message of the Christian faith, not, oh, get on your knees and apologize for the sins of someone 300 years ago that you never knew. That is absolutely frightening to me. For one thing, it is not spiritual humility when people do stuff like that. I've seen grown men, Christian leaders, business leaders, get on their knees and apologize to black people for the sins of racism from hundreds of years ago. And I'm thinking, I know you must think that's a sign of humility. It is a sign of pride, of somehow believing that you're so important that you can actually confess somebody else's sins. That's arrogance. And it's stupid, and we need to push back against it and just call it out for what it is.
And Governor, again, it's really selfish because the Southern Baptist Convention, much like the Catholic Church, so vitally important for the moral culture of this country. And when those two groups are disengaged, that I think that spells trouble for the rest of the country. And I think that's why we're dealing with a lot of the problems we're dealing with now.
So many people I know, Todd, who are church-going Christians have said, I don't want to get involved in politics. Gee, that's nasty stuff. Yes, you know what? It is. But it doesn't get cleaner when Christians stay out of it. And the fact is, politics is a reflection of our culture. It's a reflection of who we are and what we want for our future generations. So when Christians bug out and they don't take a stand against the slaughter of unborn innocent life, and they don't take a stand about the fact that God has created male and female, when we don't take that biblical stand based on a biblical worldview, we should not be surprised that that worldview is being trampled underneath by people who have no respect for God, the scriptures, are the traditions of this country. So we'd better get involved. Otherwise, we'll lose the country we claim to really love.
Well, that's a great word. Governor, what's coming up this weekend on Huckabee?
Well, as always, we have some terrific guests. We're working on our first guest. I can't announce him just yet. I hate to keep doing this to you. I've done this 2 weeks
all the
in
time.
A row.
It's a tease.
Eases you and makes you want to watch. But we have a great, great, I guess I should call him an acrobat, but he juggles knives over the body of someone. And they asked me, did I want to do it? And I said, you know, I think I'm going to pass. I'm going to let Trey Corley, director, do that. It's going to be awesome, but I ain't laying down in front of somebody. I don't know what his party affiliation is. He might be a Democrat, and I know he'd let that knife slip, and I wouldn't be here next week to talk to you.
That's not good. And, of course, we're going to be coming up in a couple of weeks promoting our new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Draw. That's going to be a lot of fun.
And, of course, it'll now be Our Daily Biscuit, which you cannot get at the Peabody anymore, but, by gosh, you can still get it at Cracker Barrel, which is where you need to go instead of the Peabody.
No, Governor, down here in Memphis, there's a place called Bryant's Breakfast, best biscuits in town. And when you come over the river, I'll treat you to some biscuits.
Tell them to get that dang bridge fixed so I can come over and we'll eat biscuits.
The potholes out on Poplar Avenue. My goodness. So, all right, Governor, always good hearing from you. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you on the TV.
Talk to you soon.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee right there, folks, calling in from Arkansas. And the governor's right. Folks, it's going to be ugly, but all you Southern Baptists out there, if you are a Southern Baptist and you are listening to me right now, you need to make plans to be in Nashville next Monday and Tuesday. If you have to take off a day from work, this is worth it because you've got a convention to save. And you just heard it from Governor Mike Huckabee. And this is what it's all about. It's about standing up, and it's about showing up. And isn't that the problem with our country, is that so many of our fellow conservatives have decided, we're upset about it. We're going to be upset about it from the Barca Lounger. We're not going to be upset about it. We don't want to march in the streets. We don't want to go to a meeting. We're just going to be upset about it from where we are in our homes. Well, that's not going to do anybody any good. So, look, we got to take a break here, 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, Marjorie Taylor Greene coming up in just a few minutes. Also, the Speaker of the Tennessee House of Representatives, Cameron Sexton, is in Memphis and is going to drop by in studio. That's going to be a fun conversation. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So we're going to play this audio for you. This is from Nickelodeon. They are producing a gay pride flag song that is performed by a drag queen. This is all about indoctrinating your 2 and 3 year olds. Yes, I said it. 2 and 3 year olds. Take a listen.
It's pride, everybody. And we have to persist in working to heal the world and healing ourselves. Yellow means sunlight, cause you gotta shine bright. Green means nature, and we gotta fight to keep our earth a thriving home for life. Doesn't it just fill you with pride? Showing who you are on the inside. Wave that pride flag up. Be true to you.
Happy Pride, everyone! Yeah!
Blue means harmony, working together. Purple means spirit, believing you have the power and strength within yourself to do whatever you dream. Maybe blue, pink, and white represent.
represent transgender people, because every letter in LGBTQ plus is equal, and black and brown represent the queer and trans people of color.
Wait, what?
Doesn't it just fill queer you with trans pride, showing who you are on the inside?
All right, enough of this, enough of this. What in the name of Captain Kangaroo is going on, America? Unbelievable. So, Grace, you've seen the video, and it's a very large, burly drag queen, a man wearing ladies' clothes.
And makeup.
And undergarments, and they're prancing about singing this song for the children.
Yes. Complete with the Black Lives Matter symbol and everything.
It's the Black Power fist. You know, they raised that at the Olympics there with the Black Power symbol.
Yep.
Clenched fist. And this is what they're teaching children.
Yep. Total sing-alongs about, you know, Pride Month by drag queens.
Can you imagine? You're going grocery shopping and you park the kids in front of the TV.
Sure.
And you come back from the grocery store and all of a sudden the kids are singing about transgender queer people and the BLM movement.
Because they don't know what that any of that is. So they're just singing because it's catchy, right? Just like any little kid's song.
They're
I don't know what that means.
I got a message the other day from a lady. And she was a very kind-hearted soul.
Sure.
And she said, Todd, it just bothers me. She said the rainbow was a sign from God.
Oh, yeah.
After Noah and the flood. And she wanted to know, why is it that they were able to use that the rainbow, and why they were able to adapt that to the LGBTQIA plus movement.
Sure.
It's a legitimate question.
It is.
Because now every time you see a rainbow, you don't think about God's promise,
no.
Do you?
No.
You think about large, burly drag queens trying to convert children to their way of life.
And see, as a girl, I like stuff with rainbows on it, or rainbow patterns. I think it's pretty. It's girly, right? But then if you wear something with rainbows on it, people think it's
not
a
anymore.
Reference to that.
Not anymore. Folks, got to take a break here. Do you want to reclaim the rainbow? What the Bible says it means? 844-747-8868. It's not about drag queens, I'll tell you that much. ToddStarnes.com is the website. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So, an interesting survey is coming out, and this ties into the question of this hour. President Trump says he's looking at possibly running again, and that Ron DeSantis would be his running mate. Let's play cut number one, please.
Are you thinking about running again, Mr. President, in 2024?
Yes, 100%. And the polls show it, and everybody wants me to do it. 100%, I'm thinking about running, and we will, I think, be very successful. If we were very successful, look, I ran twice. And the second time, I got 12 million more votes than the first time, which very rarely happens for a president. I got the largest number of votes in the history of our country for a sitting president. And I was told if I got 66 million, you couldn't lose. I got 75 million. At 10:30 in the evening, everyone thought the election was over and that we had won. All of a sudden, late in the night, they closed up the tabulation centers. And they came out with new numbers. This election is a disgrace to our country. And the whole world knows it, and they're watching.
Mr. President, would you consider a running mate in Ron DeSantis? A lot of conversation about your relationship with Ron DeSantis. You're seeing him more in Florida. Would he be your pick for
VP? He's a friend of mine. I endorsed Ron, and after I endorsed him, he took off like a rocket ship. He's done a great job as governor. A lot of people like that. You know, I'm just saying what I read and what you read. They love that ticket. But certainly Ron would be considered. He's a great guy.
All right. A lot of people talking about that ticket. What about you? Would you vote for a Trump-DeSantis presidential ticket? 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us for this hour of the program. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene joins us. Congresswoman, when you hear Trump-DeSantis, what goes through your mind?
Well, I love it. I think that's a great ticket.
Would you like a Trump-Green ticket? How about that?
I got to focus on working for my district, Todd. I absolutely love Northwest Georgia and the people that sent me to Washington to work for them. But I definitely am fired up about the sounds of a Trump-DeSantis ticket, and I think most people are.
You know, I think people just want to win. They see what happened in 2020. They see the results of that. And Marjorie, I blame the Never Trumpers. Every single thing that's happened, I don't blame Biden. I don't blame the Democrats. I blame those Never Trumpers who fought Donald Trump tooth and nail.
You know, I'm with you there. As a matter of fact, that's why I ran for Congress. I never had any plans to be involved in politics. But under the first 2 years under President Trump, when Republicans controlled the House, Republicans controlled the Senate, they are the ones that failed us, not anybody else. It was those Republicans. They didn't fund the wall. They didn't repeal Obamacare. They didn't defund sanctuary cities. And they didn't defund Planned Parenthood. As a matter of fact, they funded them. So I'm right there with you. The fail America right is the problem, because we know who the Democrats are. They're a socialist party, and we know what to do with them, and that's fight against them. But it's Republicans that don't stand up and fight and don't do the job that they say they're going to do. Well, that's really the biggest problem we have.
You know, I'm curious. Barack Obama doing an interview with Anderson Cooper, still basically saying anyone who supports statues like Robert E. Lee, you know, you folks are racist, that there's an anti-Semitism problem within the Republican Party. It's laughable. I mean, this guy he's flat out lying to the American people. He knows good and well that the anti-Semitism is alive and well in his own political party.
Oh, you know it. Anti-Semitism is coming directly out of the Democrat Party, because they have members of Congress who's the squad, the jihad squad is what I call them, who are supporting Hamas terrorists attacking Israel. They support BDS, and they demand that the other members of their party and Nancy Pelosi go along with their anti-Semitism. And so, no, the Democrats are the party of anti-Semitism, and they're also the party of racism. The Democrats are the party of critical race theory, which is a completely racist, horrible ideology that's being taught in our schools and needs to completely be canceled and wiped out. No one should ever have to apologize for their skin color, because none of us stood in line before we were born to pick our skin color. So it's absurd. No one is born inherently racist. And so Barack Obama needs to come to grips with what his party is, which is the party of racism, which is the party of anti-Semitism, and is the party of domestic terrorism, Antifa BLM.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Kamala Harris making headlines south of the border, where she's been told to go back to the United States. The folks in Guatemala don't want to have anything to do with her. And then she got snippy with NBC News' Lester Holt, saying that he said, well, you haven't been to the border. She says, well, I haven't been to Europe either. What do you make of that?
Well, I think Kamala Harris showed us exactly what we know she is. She's an embarrassment. She's not upholding her oath that she took to defend our Constitution and uphold our laws. And we have laws at our border. She hasn't even been to the border to see the invasion that's happening, that she just wants to pretend is all caused by climate, you know, lies, basically climate lies. And so for her to go down to Guatemala is grandstanding, which she claimed it's not, but it is grandstanding. And she's going down there to represent the people that she really wants to represent, which is the rest of the world and not Americans. You know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are completely a disgrace. Their policies are weakening our country. Their policies are completely socialism. She doesn't care about the border. She wants people to keep coming. So she told them to stay there, but it was basically with a wink and a nod to keep on coming, and that they'll do everything they can to let them in. And what they're doing is they're really enriching the cartels in the process, and just allowing and aiding and causing human trafficking. So Kamala Harris, she embarrassed our country. And for her to act that way in an interview, laughing it off, like, well, I haven't been to Europe either. Well, Kamala Harris clearly hasn't been informed on what the duties are of Vice President of the United States.
No, you're right. It's a fair point. And honestly, at some point, I wonder, does she really want that job? Or is she just waiting for Biden to call it a day? There's just something not right, something very off-putting about that relationship between Biden and Harris.
Oh, it is. It's concerning. I think she definitely wants the job, but she's performing the job in a way that America doesn't want a vice president to perform the job. She's sitting there waiting her turn for Grandpa Biden to be unable to fulfill his job duties as president so that she can become president. That's all she's doing. And, you know, Joe Biden, there's such a clear difference. Oh, gosh, seeing President Trump on the stage for most people was a great big reminder of what a strong, powerful leader and what a great leader he was as president of the United States in the past 4 years, and what a huge difference, just a stark difference between Joe Biden, who is weak, just doesn't look healthy, is a feeble man, and is such a weak leader that has caused America to be disrespected now, and we are really vulnerable with our enemies now as Joe Biden in the presidency. So we've got big problems. We really do, Todd.
All right, Marjorie, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you, and thanks for fighting the good fight there up on Capitol Hill.
Well, thank you for fighting the good fight and getting the truth out and doing everything you're doing.
All right, Marjorie Taylor Greene, ladies and gentlemen, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, 844-747-8868. You know, I've been talking about MyPillow for a long time now. Mike Lindell is a good friend of this program, and he has been a great friend to you, providing you with all sorts of great discounts on things like the MyPillows and the mattress toppers and, of course, the Giza Dream bed sheets. And now Mike is introducing a brand-new product, My Slippers. It took over 2 years to develop these incredibly comfortable slippers made with the same kind of foam and impact gel that Mike uses in MyPillow. And for a limited time only, Mike is offering listeners of our program 40% off his new My Slippers. They're incredibly comfortable, so affordable. You're going to be able to get them for the entire family. Father's Day, just around the corner. A great opportunity to go right now to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. That's MyPillow.com. Go to the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're going to get that 40% off discount. Also discounts on the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and, of course, the MyPillow towel sets. Or you could just call 800-839-8506 and use that promo code STARNS. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Got to tell you, I like Ron DeSantis. I like what this guy is doing. He's taking it to the media. He's taking it to the Democrats. He's taking it to the rhinos, and he's leading. He doesn't care who he offends. He is leading. And last night, he was over at Panama City Beach, the Redneck Riviera, at a massive concert. I think they call it Golf Jam. It's a huge music concert. Here's Governor DeSantis.
The largest concert since the pandemic began. And the only reason we're doing that is because Florida chose freedom over Fauci. And so I hope everyone enjoys themselves, but seeing all the great folks having a good time. My message for other states and other countries, states, open your schools. Let people live their lives. Don't make them wear masks.
22,000 people on hand for the Gulf Coast Jam, and it is the largest music festival in America since the China virus outbreak. Man, they had a great lineup. Luke Bryan, not so much Luke Bryan. Brad Paisley was there. Skynyrd was there. So you know they were rocking out. But a lot of people like DeSantis. Let's go to the phones. North Carolina, Ron on the talk station. All right, Ron, what do you think? Trump DeSantis.
Oh, yes. That's the dream team, Mr. Starn. Yeah. I would love to see that. I love Trump. Everybody was sick of how the country was going. When we voted for Trump the first place, they saw what great things he did, and we voted him in again. I don't care what anybody says. And I would love to see him and Mr. DeSantis run it together. We need to watch for the nefarious Democrats so they don't pass these election laws where they messed up the last election with the mail-in ballots. We've really got to watch that cheating. They think, I hope I'm wrong, they think they got away with it in 2020. But I hope there's these audits that are in Arizona and elsewhere. I hope the truth comes out one day.
Well, Ron, I do too. I do hope that the truth comes out, and I think the truth will come out. Well, is it going to make any difference? No, not this go around. It's not. You know, the elections, that's over with. The question is, what about 2022 and what about 2024? And I think DeSantis, look, I'm not convinced that Trump is going to run, but I could easily see Trump out there on the campaign trail actively campaigning for a DeSantis, somebody else ticket, whether that person is Alan West, whether that person is Kristi Noem or Josh Hawley. I mean, you name it. I think the president would be involved to some extent. But maybe Donald Trump is going to jump into the race again. Let's see what happens in 2022. And if Trump is able to get out there on the campaign trail and he's able to win seats for the Republicans, then I think it's his decision one way or the other. Ron, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening to our program. So we talk about these leftists, and the folks over at Newsmax generating some headlines because they flat out called it like it was. The folks at Newsmax say Nickelodeon and some of these other folks are trying to indoctrinate your children. And then I came across this this leftist, and she is freaky. I mean, just freaky. You'll have to wonder what it's like around her house at Thanksgiving. Let's take a listen. Cut number two.
Guess what, f***ers? My patience has run out. Pansexuality is not inherently biphobic. They are both valid sexualities. Both of them. And while, yes, I have seen pansexual people use that label for questionable reasons, they pretty quickly get it once you explain things to them. They do. And not only that, but do you know who likes to use specific or micro labels? Neurodivergent people. Sometimes we just have to do whatever we can to feel safe and comfortable. And using a more specific label can be our outlet for that. If you took all that energy you spend calling people biphobic and saying they're performing bi erasure and just educated them, there would be less biphobia. There would be less bi erasure. Because you've explained it, and people will know the difference. I've f***ing had it with you guys. Jesus f***.
Oh, my. Yeah, that's, wow. Cussing like a Lutheran there. No, I'm just kidding. We like the Lutherans. So so now apparently the latest trend is about, I guess bi would be the bisexual Grace Baker. And that is that correct? So they can go either way.
They butter can go their any
bread.
Way.
They butter the bread either on either side.
I guess. Mm-hmm.
So now, so she is. I'm assuming she is bisexual, and she's going off on pansexual people for being biphobic.
It's very confusing. I listened to that whole thing a couple of times, and I still don't understand what the point is.
You know, I remember back when I was in grade school, because you know they're teaching these kids this stuff.
Sure.
I remember it was hard enough to parse a participle.
Yes.
But now you're having to figure out the difference between neurodivergent people. That's neurological. I mean, this is a mental case right here. By erasure. So within the LGBT world, that multiverse, that the gays and the lesbians gang up on the bis because they say, no, you got to declare a side. What if you don't want to declare a side? Aren't you glad you're a cisgender American?
I'm just glad I'm keeping it simple.
All right.
Got my husband and my dog.
Got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, now is a great time to head over to the website and get yourself a pre-ordered copy of my new book coming out in just a couple of weeks, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And you'll be able to get a signed copy, an autographed copy, going to the store page over at toddstearns.com. Well, it's very rare that we have studios or guests in studio here at our bunker, our news bunker in Memphis, Tennessee, but we are delighted to welcome the Tennessee House Speaker, Cameron Sexton. Mr. Speaker, good to have you with us today.
It's good to be here in person.
And welcome to the western part of Tennessee.
Beautiful place. We love coming here.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the Republican Party and the direction of the party, and I think it's fair to say there are conversations being had about where we go from here. And do you embrace the agenda that President Trump brought to the table, or do you as Republicans carve a new path? What do you say?
Well, I mean, I think you take a lot of what President Trump did. The Republican Party has always been known to be the party that if you're in bad economic times or jobs and that sort of stuff, that's the party. That's the leaning. Health care, always gone to the Democrats. Education, always gone to Democrats. Immigration reform is more Republican. And so I think we need to broaden our policy discussion and incorporate the Republican principles into health care and education, and that's what we're doing here in Tennessee.
Look, no doubt demographics in this country are changing. Here in the western part of the state, this is a majority black city, Memphis, Tennessee, and it is a strongly Democrat area as well. But the reality is, over decades, I mean, generations of Democrat rule, and you have poverty here, you have crime, which is off the charts. Memphis, one of the deadliest cities in America. And I think there's a message for those communities that the Republican Party stands for law and order. The Republican Party wants to help grow your business, and we want to make sure your kids are in good schools. We want school choice. I think those are great messages to bring to that community and build that, as Reagan called it, that big tent Republican Party.
Absolutely, and I think the Republican Party is about opportunity. We want you to be successful. We want you to have the same opportunity as everybody else in K-12 education, as you mentioned. How do we allow that to in these school systems that are underperforming? How do we let the students get there? We need the Republican Party is the only party that protects law enforcement, that stands with the blue, that backs the blue. The other party wants to defund the police. And so doing that and standing with law enforcement, you end crime by having tough enforcement, by having a tough DA, and having laws that puts criminals in jail for a long time. And there's no reason that a violent criminal should get out serving 30% of the sentence and have the victim's family turn around within 2 years and see them back on the street.
I mean, the reality is that you've got you've got families in the predominantly white suburbs. They want their kids to be able to go to the park and be safe. You've got folks in predominantly black neighborhoods. They want their kids to be able to go to the park and be safe too. There are lots of shared common values in this country, and we just cannot allow the left to divide us along those racial lines.
Well, you can't. And if you look at it, a lot of people blame, you know, gun laws and guns are too easy as part of the problem. If you look at states like California, Illinois, where they have the toughest gun laws, they're still having more gun violence than anybody else. So it's really not the gun laws. It's the enforcement mechanism. It's backing the law enforcement community, making sure they have the resources to patrol the communities, to make the community safe, and having an attorney general who's willing to prosecute.
You have the vice president, Kamala Harris, refuses to go to the border. She's down in Guatemala right now. They told her to go back to where she came from. Now she's in Mexico. You've got her boss, the president of the United States, sending illegal alien children to Chattanooga, Tennessee in the dark of night, even though the governor said, no, you can't do that. I mean, as a lawmaker, when you found out what the federal government was doing, what was your reaction?
Well, we're shocked because, you know, the Biden administration reached out to the Republican governors and they all said no, and they sent a lot of questions to them, which they never responded to. And so if you're going to send it, why ask for our opinion? And so our governor said, we want to have these questions answered. Until you do so, we're a no. They still haven't answered it, but they're still sending children into our state to move all across the country.
And how is that impacting the state of Tennessee?
Well, we're trying to figure that out. We put together a task force to dive into that issue and see what it's looking like. But there's also they're moving them to families. This is different than what happened under the Haslam administration where it was they were fleeing a state and it was a family fleeing the state. This is just where children are being dropped off at the border and then the Biden administration is trying to put them in these homes or into communities with the families somewhere.
You know, we talk a lot about the culture on this radio program. We've been telling stories about critical race theory, and you guys here in Tennessee have done something about that. The Tennessee has banned public schools from teaching critical race theory.
We have. We didn't go in and call it criminal race theory because if you do that, then they'll change the term and null and voids it. But we basically what we said is we outlined the things that you cannot teach. These are not part of the standards that you can teach because we think it's important. Is you want to teach on fact and what is and what isn't. But you don't want to do the other side. And so we went in and put about 9 to 10 things in there that you can't teach in our schools that would theoretically ban critical race theory.
And what are some of those things that were of concern to you guys as lawmakers?
Well, I mean, just you're racist because of your skin color or, you know, a host of other things that they teach or that you're privileged just because of your skin color. Things that aren't based on factual. You know, I mean, at the end, we live in a country where anybody can be successful. You have the opportunity, and if you put in the hard work, you can get to a place. And simply saying that race is there, someone is racist without knowing them, that'd be like saying I have a 7-year-old daughter, and just because she's Caucasian, she's racist. Well, she doesn't see race, and that shouldn't be taught. They should be taught other things.
Here in studio at our compound in Memphis, Tennessee, is the Speaker of the State House of Representatives, Cameron Sexton, in town for a barbecue. Is that right?
Going to the barbecue tonight.
The Republican women are feeding you barbecue.
They are.
So you picked the best part of Tennessee to come and do that.
Well, I couldn't get down here in time for the big barbecue in Memphis in May, so I came down for this one.
I got to tell you, and you feel free to not comment on what I'm about to say, but I was in Nashville a couple of weeks ago, and Lord love them, but I think the Hollywood Times have ruined Nashville. You know, it's too glitzy and glamorous. You know, this is – Memphis is really Tennessee. You know, that's the authentic part of the state.
Well, you know, the great thing about our state is three distinct areas, East, Mid, West, and they all have different flavors and different cultures, and the one common theme across our state is music, and that's one thing that we can combine all the parts.
When you look at a state like Tennessee, because it is very different. East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and then when you get up to, you know, Dollywood and Pigeon Forge, well, that's a whole different story right there.
But it really is a microcosm of America, I suppose. Is there a lot of differences out there? But we've got to find those things that we can unite on.
Well, I think that's true. But you also, I think we're missing something now in America that we didn't have, that we didn't do 30 years ago, which is you value someone's opinion. And when you disagree, you don't automatically hate the person for disagreeing with you. You can have a disagreement about opinion, about fact, or about whatever you want. But it shouldn't limit you from working with somebody. We can disagree on an issue, but I should not hate you afterwards because of that one simple issue.
No, I understand what you mean. I mean, you know, for example, you know, if you're in, you know, the Carolinas, you know, they've got a peculiar form of barbecue compared to us. But you know what? It's barbecue. So you can, you know, you kind of meet in the middle. But to your point, though, that is a big problem because now it's not a matter of I disagree with you. It's now it's you're a racist or you're a homophobe or you're a bigot. I mean, where do we make that leap?
Well, you know, I think that's come in the last decade, I think. And people are constantly wanting to divide and dissect people and put them in groups and try to do this new woke culture or council culture. And you know, there's a poll that came out in the Tennessee in the day where Tennesseans don't like the council culture. I mean, like 65% of Tennesseans are against it. And so I think there's hope for us. As people see things, hopefully we'll change and maybe we'll get back to what our grandparents taught
us. There was a guy here in Memphis, longtime Democrat, African-American. He was a minister, and he had been representing that district for over, 20 years. Yes. And he's pro-life. He voted with you mm-hmm. guys on pro-life legislation, and they kicked him out of the party.
They did.
Unbelievable. His name is John DeBerry. We tried to talk him into joining them. We're like, you know, sir, I know you say you're a Democrat, but you sound like a Republican.
Well, you know, here's the thing is he's one of the finest people you'll ever meet.
Sure enough.
And he grew up a time where he remembers Martin Luther King and being in Memphis with him and marching and his dad being part of civil rights. And I think he thinks like a lot of people. He doesn't get caught into what's the norm or what's the new thing that needs to be. He just goes back from what his dad taught him, what his grandparents taught him, and right's right and wrong's wrong. And you respect someone like that.
Steve Cohen, he's not a friend of mine, by the way. He does not like me. We gonna be able to beat him one of these days?
We'll see. I mean, it's one of those things where you know you'll take a look. I think that you could maybe be in a Democrat primary, saying a Republican can win that congressional seat might be a stretch right now.
Well, we can always pray for miracles.
You can. Absolutely.
All right, Mr. Speaker, very good to have you with us today. Have fun at the barbecue tonight.
Thank you. It's always great to be in Memphis, even though it's raining. It's great to be here.
It is a little rainy out there. All right, Cameron Sexton, Speaker of the Tennessee State House. Folks, we've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Just a reminder, head over to the website, toddstarnes.com, and get yourself a pre-ordered, personally autographed copy of the new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And I got a note from someone said, Todd, are you not going to write any political books anymore? No. We're going to write political books. We got to take a break, though, kind of spice things up a little bit. And as a matter of fact, already doing research for the next book project, and we'll tell you the working title, maybe in a couple of weeks or so, once we get all of that worked out. Don't forget tonight, Newsmax TV, you've got Cortez and Pellegrino. I'm going to be on, I got a note, I'll be on sometime this week, I believe Thursday, we're going to be on one of the Newsmax TV shows, and we'll keep you updated on all of that as well. I want to go back to this interview that Lester Holt did with Kamala Harris. Take a listen to how that went down earlier today.
Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border.
So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And
okay.
I don't
let me stop here. There are a couple of things. There we go. There are a couple of things I want you to understand here. First of all, kudos to Lester Holt from NBC News. Lester Holt called her out. She said, well, we've been to the border. No, you haven't been to the border. And that's when she turns around and says, well, I haven't been to Europe either. And with that cackle, that god-awful cackle, I mean, good Lord, America. So Kamala Harris, she was asked about this at the press briefing, Jen Psaki, just a little while ago. Do we have that audio? Let's play that.
Thank you. About the vice president's trip, why is it then that when the vice president is asked if she has plans to visit the border, she says we've been to the border, even though she has not as vice president?
Well, as the vice president, she does speak for the actions of the people in the administration. She certainly helps oversee. I expect that sometimes she may go to the border, Peter, but as you know, what her focus has been, what the assignment is specifically, is to work with leaders in the Northern Triangle. She's on a trip doing exactly that, exactly what the president asked her to do.
And as we understand it, though, her main focus is to try to address the root causes of migration. Did somebody decide here that it would not be helpful for her to go to the border and talk to people who just migrated here?
Well, again, I think that at some point she may go to the border. We'll see. But she's in the Northern Triangle now to have discussions with leaders, with community leaders, with civil society leaders, with the embassy about how we can work together. And obviously she's made a couple of announcements already, probably more to come before she comes back to the United States.
And she described those.
Now, what's fascinating about this back and forth that happened just a little while ago is – and you had to listen carefully to the explanation. So Ducey from Fox News, his daddy is on Fox and Friends. They do that a lot over there, but they hire a lot of the offspring, and they get jobs over there. Good for them. But anyway, Peter Ducey was calling her out on all of this, and Jen Psaki said, well, technically she has been to the border because she's a part of the administration, and the administration has been to the border. So in their thinking, if they sent just, I don't know, an errand boy down to the border on behalf of Joe Biden, that means that Kamala Harris actually went to the border. These people are out of their minds, out of their minds. But again, Kamala Harris, she doesn't want to go anywhere near the border because she knows that when she does, she will own that problem. And it is a great big problem, ladies and gentlemen. I got an email. I want to read this to you from one of our listeners who wasn't able to call him. It says, Mr. Starnes, a guy by the name of Matthew. Mr. Starnes, I'm writing to address the question you are currently putting out over the radio. Would people vote for a Trump-DeSantis ticket? I think that would be a major mistake. The same ticket that the American people voted for previously needs to be put forth, and that is the Trump-Pence ticket. I am among those who absolutely believe the election was stolen. If Pence is removed from the ticket, we run the risk of losing the evangelical religious vote. Again, I believe removing Pence from the ticket could be a tragic mistake. Thank you for your time. Now, Matthew, that is certainly something to consider. And the issue is, if there's not a strong evangelical on the ticket, will those evangelicals still vote for Trump? I think they will. I mean, what else are they going to do? But beyond that, by and large, the Republican Party, this is a brand new poll out. Breitbart News just posted this information. A brand new poll out today indicates 55% of Republicans support same-sex marriage. That is up 16%. It was only 16% in 1996. So when it comes to the social issues, the Republican Party is moderating itself. And Donald Trump himself was a part of that. I mean, Trump is very liberal on a lot of the social issues of the day. He's pro-life, but everything else, he's pretty far to the left. And that is, I think, reflective of the kinds of people that Trump brought into the Republican Party. So the question that evangelicals will have to ask themselves, do I want to be a part of a party that would embrace gay marriage, which is why Ronna McDaniel a few days ago posted a tweet supporting and endorsing the LGBT community. Now, here's my take on this. And this goes beyond the walls of the church house. I don't care who you are or what you do in the privacy of your home. If you're going to stand and fight for the United States Constitution, if you're going to stand and fight for religious liberty and the Second Amendment and free speech, if you're going to stand and fight for that, then by golly, you've got my support, because we're all in this together, folks. And there's no other place to go. This is freedom's last stand right here, the United States of America. All right, folks, got to get out of here. Been a good show today. We're back tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.